Good morning.
Good morning.
We're just looking at the clock and just realized it's still morning. Well, this has been a very interesting week this week for us. The phone company's been calling me for years telling me if I'm entitled to a new phone. And I've always said, no, I love my phone, it's working well, and there's no need to invest in another phone. Well, on Friday, I was going to the bank. Well, maybe that's something I have to consider. I was crossing the street in Middleburg, and my phone fell out of my pocket. So I reached back, and a car almost ran over the phone. And I picked it up, and I thought, okay, well, there goes my phone. And I opened it up, and I don't know if you're familiar with how spider webs kind of scatter across the screen of the phone. Well, I did. And I thought, well, that's it. The phone's done, and I'll have to get another phone. So finally, the phone company won. Well, I went to the phone store, and I was on my way with my son, Jeremy, and the phone rings. And I'm thinking, is that your phone? And Jeremy says, no, it's not my phone. It's got to be your phone. I said, well, it can't be my phone. My phone was destroyed by the car. Well, it was my phone. It did ring, and I found out that the phone worked. It actually worked, and I was talking to someone at the time, and I said what happened, and she said, well, I'm talking. She said, she asked me a few questions, and I told her I couldn't do what she requested. So she hung up, and I thought, well, if a phone can come in, a phone line can come in, ring, maybe I can call out. Maybe I can use this phone after all and save my wonderful phone that I loved so many years. I couldn't. I tried dialing out and ringing out, and nothing happened. So I got to the phone company. We talked about exchanging phones, and she said, you're entitled to a free phone. Did all these years that you never replaced it, you're entitled to a free phone. Well, this made Jeremy happy because he gave me his phone, and he went and got another phone. As you can see, I'm not much into phones. I just wanted a simple phone, one that I can dial out and ring in and talk to people. So I got Jeremy's phone, and I just thought I'd let you know, if you're trying to call me, you can call me now. And the lady, it's interesting, because the lady at the phone company said, you know, that phone you had was a really great phone. She said, they don't make phones like that anymore. And I thought, yeah, I know. So I did lose my phone along the process. So what's the moral of the story? Be careful where you lay your phone. You may lose it. Well, this is Pentecost weekend coming in, and as I was preparing for a sermon for the Holy Day, Sabbath, before the Pentecost, I thought, well, what would be a good tie-in subject that would tie into Pentecost in the season that we're going to be experiencing tomorrow? And several ideas came to my mind, and this week I was encouraged. I got an email about a subject that I was thinking about for quite a while, but I just wasn't quite sure how I was going to present it. So when I got this email, the light kind of rang a little bit in the head and flashed before me, and I thought, yeah, this is a great subject, and it kind of fits in what I wanted to talk about anyway. And I'm going to use some of the materials that I received. It's from Noel Horner, H-O-R-N-O-R, is the individual who wrote this information. And I thought I would share it with you because it was just... As we prepare for the Pentecost season, I just thought that this was something that would be very helpful for all of us. Now, we understand that God's intention was to give us the Holy Spirit. It was His intention all along in the process of creating man. But there was a specific time He wanted to do that. And there were specific ways that He wanted to do that. And we're going to talk about a little bit about some of the ways of that. We're also going to talk about specifically an area that I find very encouraging because my wife and I work in this area, and so does Joyce, and it does relate to that subject. And it's a subject of touching, the power of touching. And I think it's a tremendous subject, and it's something that I've been thinking about for a while, how the power of touching can influence and affect the lives of others. And that is one of the ways that God also, it was His intention to produce the touch to express love. And He used the power of touching to express love in the ways that relates to the Pentecost season. Now let's look at 1 John 3. Over in the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows not us, because it knew him not. Verse 2. Behold, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall know that when he shall appear, and we're looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ, that we... Now, when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. And that is the process of what we're doing. We're purifying ourselves as we prepare for the return of Jesus Christ and utilizing the Holy Spirit that God has given us. We are preparing and we're purifying ourselves, waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. That's tremendously encouraging to know that we are the sons and daughters of God. Now that's something that we can be very, very encouraged. It's an intimate relationship. Anyone who's a parent, I think most of us can relate to this. We are closely related to our children. We have affection and desire and concern for our children. And just like parents have a close relationship with children, God has a very close, intimate relationship with each and every one of us. And how is that? It's by the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. That is the key. That is the emphasis of the relationship, of how we know who God's sons and daughters are. It's the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. You know, over in the book of Luke, and let's turn there. Luke 11, and let's look at verse 13. You know, we think about, as parents, we always want to give the best for our children. It's desire that they grow up, be nurtured, and led, and eventually go on to develop their own family and have their children, and the process and the cycle continues. But over here in Luke 11, and verse 13, we're told, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give us the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So it's God's desire to give us the best. And one of the best gifts that he gives us is the Holy Spirit, because that enables us to withstand the trials that we face on a daily basis. It's a tremendous blessing, and it's a gift from God. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. And of course, as parents, we want to give our children gifts. We want to do the best we possibly can. The love of God is more important than any other love that we can experience. It's a tremendous blessing, and it is God's desire to extend his love from him to us. And as we prepare in doing the same to our children, expressing our love to our children, it says one of the primary ways that we can practice is through the relationship of touching. Now, touching can be used in a proper manner, and it can also be used in an improper manner. We understand that. I'm not going to go into the details of improper touching. I think that's something parents can discuss that with their children if need be, and pursue from that direction. But I want to encourage the positive emphasis of touching. Touching... God gave us senses in our bodies. We have the sense of touch, the smell, taste, hearing, eyesight. These are all senses that we can experience. And it is God's desire to us to enjoy these senses. And one of the senses I mentioned was touch. And it's a pleasurable touch that we receive. God designed it into our physical bodies to be able to reach out, to touch our children, to encourage them through a gentle, maybe stroke of the hair on their head, and let them know that we love them, and hugs and kisses. These are all senses of touch. And God wants us to do this. He wants us to develop not only our relationship with our children, but with our children's children, our grandchildren. This extends from generation to generation. It's not just the immediate family, but the extended family and the family of God as well. We are to reach out and encourage and help one another and let each other know that we do care for each and every one of us, and we do love each other. And one of the senses of touch is one way of showing and expressing love to one another. It's a simple physical touch is all it is. A pat on the back, an encouraging, letting them know that you care. And yet that simple touch can have so much dramatic effect on an individual's life. You've ever been discouraged? I don't think I know anybody that hasn't sometime in their life been discouraged, whether it's gone through trials or difficulties, health issues. We all experience difficulties in life. And isn't it wonderful when somebody comes up and hugs you and say, hang in there, keep doing the things you're doing, God will make this thing work out for you. Just words of encouragement and just a hug, just a touch, a feeling, a comfort, of joy. That's how God wanted it to be. He designed the senses of touch for each and every one of us, that we can experience that in a positive light, a healthy touch that God desired for each and every one of us. The most noticeable way in the Bible that God shows was an example over in the three Gospels. Let's start with Matthew 19. Now Jesus Christ, when he became flesh, set an example here. Now each one of these examples here are all related, the three examples in the gospel, starting with Matthew 19, and let's look at verse 13. Matthew 19 and verse 13, and then there were brought unto him little children. Now I mentioned about holding children, touching, caressing them, letting them know you care about them and love them, that he should put his hands on them. You notice he touched them with his hands. It wasn't that they brought him before him and that was it. He stood before him. No, he caressed them. He held them in his arms. He held them with his hands. It says he touched them with his hands. And he prayed, and the disciples rebuked them. Now, see here, the disciples didn't understand what this was all about. They were irritated about it. The disciples. But Jesus set an example and says here in verse 14, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. So he used an example of little children, and he also used the senses of touch, letting them know that he cared about them. He was greatly concerned for each and every one of them. Let's also look at Mark 10. Again, the same account. And it must have been very important to God and Jesus Christ that it's written up three times in the Bible in reference to children. Mark 10, and let's look at verse 13. Again, Mark 10 and verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. Again, the senses of touch, which is very positive, encouraging, letting them know that he cared about them. And the disciples, again, rebuked them that were brought them. So the disciples didn't understand what was going on. They didn't want this to happen. But again, in verse 14, but when Jesus saw that it was much displeased, he was much displeased, and he said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. And verily I say unto you, whoever shall not enter the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So again, he used the children as an example, and in the process he touched, held the child. Now, a lot of people sometimes disagree on what the ages of children in these examples. It doesn't matter. The point is, it's children, and that he touched them, and that he used them as an example for the disciples to learn that you have to become like little children in order to enter the kingdom. And now let's look at the third example over in Luke 18. Now here it kind of refers maybe younger children, because the words used infant in this scripture. Chapter 18, Luke 18 and verse 15, and they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, again, they rebuked it. The example is that they just didn't understand. It wasn't that they were being mean or nasty towards the parents of these children or towards the children themselves. They just didn't understand. Why are these children bothering Christ? They're probably irritated by that more than anything. But Jesus, out of his comforting and caring for children, emphasized, again, verse 16, "But Jesus called unto them and said, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not ways enter therein," or wise enter therein. So again, these three examples. So it must have been very important that it's three examples in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke for us to realize that it's very important. God loves children. And he expects us to show love to our children and to our children's children and to our children's children's children, as Gladys can say, which is a joy. It's a blessing to be able to see them and know them and express the love to them. So that's the example. The act that's demonstrated that God delights in the involvement of the lives of little ones. He cares about every one of us, but he also delights in the lives of little ones. And so he watches the little ones grow up, and he watches us as we raise our children, and he encourages us with the Holy Spirit to show and express love to our little ones. And it is through the power of touch, as the example of Jesus Christ set, that we can express our love to our children, our children's children. And in Gladys' situation, children's children's children, which is a blessing, a tremendous blessing. Unfortunately, modern language uses the term touch in various expressions that convey the importance of touch as well as sometimes the negative of touching. We speak of staying in touch, and my son says this all the time, "I got to stay in touch." And that's true. Not only physical, but verbally, got to stay in touch. We also speak of those who are out of touch. He's out of touch. He doesn't know what he's talking about, or he don't know what he's doing. We sometimes say that a tactless person is a heavy touch. I don't know if you've heard that expression before. Have you? Okay, I haven't heard that before. That's the first I've heard that, but that's been expressed. A heavy touch. They're a tactless person. They wear you out physically, and they just depress them, and it's a heavy touch. Yet in many ways, we live in a society that shuns touching. Because of the negative touch I talked about earlier, that's the tragedy of what happens when people use touch for the wrong purpose. But rather, God encourages us to use touch for the right purpose and the right physical touch to express love. This is a sociologist named Ashley. I'm not sure how she pronounces her last name, so I'll just say Ashley. I too, like John and Tom and the rest of us, sometimes we just have a tendency to slur words, and it's best just to go over them quickly. Ashley, sociologist Ashley, says that the Western world has produced a race of untouchables. Now that's a tragedy. A race of untouchables. Now this was dated Touching, published in 1986. Now you can think about it. Here we are, 2011. And that was published in 1986, and society has grown colder and colder and less love expressed. And so we've become even more untouchable based on the society in which has progressed. And I feel that that's because of Satan's influence, is my personal feeling about that. I think he influences the minds of men, and he causes perverse things to happen for the wrong purpose. And then, of course, we go from one extreme to the other extreme. Okay, touching was good, but now it's bad, and they want to just rule everything bad now. And so we become, you can't touch, you can't hug, you can't kiss, you can't spank children even, correct children. I mean, it's just untouchable. It just becomes amazing what society does. We can see that impersonalities can arise. Children can be affected by not having a proper sense of touch. And they took studies about this. I'm going to read about some of these studies. And I think it's amazing about some of these physical tests that were taken. Physical touch is a basic element way of communicating. It's just a basic way of telling your children or your husband or wife or whoever that you love them, that you care about them. It's a way of expressing between human beings. And God designed it that way. He really wanted it to. The typical first reaction of a mother when she has a newborn child, what is the reaction? Pick up the child. Pick her up or pick him up. Hold him in your arms. Hug him. Kiss him. That's just a natural physical reaction that a mother has. When a mother does not have that reaction, you got to wonder, does she have love for the child? And unfortunately, again, society sometimes creates that. This is vital to the baby. It's tremendously vital to the baby. The baby needs that touch. It needs that assurance that the mother loves it. That is very close to the child. This triggers the critical bonding process of the newborn. Now, I mentioned about they took tests, and it's interesting. Among the most important of newborns' infants' needs are the signs that is received through the skin. I think that's interesting for each and every one of us to realize. The child needs to be cuddled and held and caressed. And it is through the skin that they receive the comfort of communication outside the world. They were in the room, and they were in there by themselves, unless there was twins. And it was a whole different world. And they came out into the physical world, and if they are neglected, they don't have the full sense of reality of the love that they're supposed to receive. Now, as the child grows, what it requires is continual proper handling, caressing, caring, cuddling, and cooing. And I like cooing. When a little guy's laughing and giggling, or a little girl's laughing and giggling and cooing, and they'll just keep laughing and giggling right back to you. It's a wonderful relationship for each and every one of us to experience. And that, again, these are what God wants us to experience, the senses of touch. Now, a child who is completely deprived of such loving treatment may even die. They took some tests. This was illustrated in 1945. This is a results in a study in 1945 by Rene Spitz. Now, that's the individual who took the study conducted of children in an institution. A group of children all about the age of three years old, were fed, clothed, and adequately taken care of their physical needs other than the need for touch. And because there was few nurses who were able to give personal attention, no one talked to them, no one carried them around or cuddled them, and the human results were devastating, just totally devastating. Within two full years, a third of the children had died. Isn't that remarkable? Because of a lack of touch, a lack of caressing, holding, kissing, caring, expressing love to the little ones, they shriveled up and died. A third of them, fully a third of the children had died, and the rest were mentally retarded. Isn't that amazing? Mentally retarded. They were not fully developed mentally because they did not have the touch that a mother or a nurse or a father or grandparents or whoever should have taken. The conclusion seemed very clear. Loving attention is essential as food for human beings and for the human infant. Now, this is from James McKee, Sociology, The Study of Sociology, 1981. That was printed. The test results were back in 1945, but the book, Sociology, The Study of Society, was written in 1981, and this is some of the results of that. That's just remarkable. This found was continually confirmed in Romania. Now, this is the 1990s. In the 1990s, over in Romania, when thousands of infants were housed in orphanages, some of them virtually left alone in their cribs for 2 years. Now, they were fed. Diapers were changed and clothed and taken care of that way, but they were left alone, with no attention, for 2 years. They were found to be severely impaired. Now, this was from the Book of Life,
dated August 1997. So even as recently as 1997, they're realizing without the caressing, touching need that children need, they will become greatly impaired. Severely, the word is emphasized, severely impaired. Again, that just again reaffirms what the 1945 situation presented. Here in the 1990s, they find the same results. The social and psychological development of a child deprived of proper touch may hinder it throughout its entire life. So it may grow up and appear to be normal and healthy, but somewhere in its life, it may experience emotional, mental, physical disabilities that will affect them the rest of their lives. Now, God's watching all this, and He emphasized touch out of love and concern for mankind and the expression for children. He showed in the example of Matthew and Mark and Luke of Jesus Christ holding children. And I'm sure He's looking down from heaven and is totally disgusted when He sees children not getting the proper love. Now, we can think of our nation as one of the greatest nations that ever existed, and yet we lead the world in an abortion. We don't even give a child an opportunity to live sometimes. And that's where we're at in life. The social environments that we live in sometimes are devastating. The physical awkwardness of relationships with others sometimes causes individuals to refuse to caress, touch, and hold. It's awkward. I don't feel right. It's a child, and they just don't want to touch the child. That's what society has done. The parents should bestow loving physical touch upon their young children, enforcing the love that they need. If you don't give it to your children, they'll find it elsewhere, whether it's in uncles, aunts, grandparents. If the parents won't do it, the children will find it other sources. They need it. And it's very vitally important that we do express and we do give our children, our children's children, and even our children's children the needed necessity so they can have a good start in life, especially infants. Infants is so important. Those studies are devastating when you hear about young children just shriveling up and dying because of no affection. I mean, when I read this article, I just thought, yes, this is so important. So important that here we are coming into the Pentecost season, which we receive the Holy Spirit, which is a gift from God. It's God's love to us, giving us His Holy Spirit. That's one of the ways He expresses to us. And He expects us to, in return, do the same with our children. And it's so important, so important. So what can we do to help our children in this context? Let's reach out and let's touch. Let's touch our children with caring, loving caress to let them know we love them. We love them very much. And it doesn't matter how old our children is. My son's 36. I have to think. He's almost as old as I am sometimes, it seems like it. At least he acts that way anyway. He's aged fast, believe me. But that's part of society too. The physical tolls of society can age us quickly. But yes, it doesn't matter how old our children are. The child could be an infant and we can rejoice and, like I say, and enjoy. Or they could be whatever age. In my situation, my son's 36. So I embarrass my son now. Of course, he won't hear this, so it's okay. So don't tell him. I'll tell him myself. But yes, we need to show loving physical touch to our children. And it's never wrong to hug our children. So if anybody tells you it's wrong to hug, you just tell them that you heard about situations where if they do not develop the sense of proper touch, that they can develop improper physical levels in society, and they can shrivel up even infants and die. Physical touch is essential for difficult children, very important for difficult children. There are many children who are growing up with complications, maybe divided families where maybe the father is no longer a part of the family. There's a mother raising a child. And this is a difficult for children because they love their fathers as well as they love their mothers. And sometimes divorce happens in families. And suddenly the child is raised with maybe just the mother or perhaps just the father, depending on the situation. And physical touch is important, especially for difficult children, because sometimes they feel rejected. Maybe they did something that caused the divorce, that caused the parents to separate. Because they love both parents, they don't want them separated. Children don't want to see this. Parents who are attempting to correct behavioral problems can sometimes find themselves, it's because of situations like that, divorce. The child felt rejected. Why did dad leave? Did I do something wrong? Statements like that are amazing. And it happens in society all around us. And child will blame themselves for families dividing. And if the child is not reassured, no, this was not your fault. This was not anything that you did wrong. And caring, they'll end up developing behavioral problems. And I've seen that in a situation involving one of our friends' daughter. She's experiencing behavioral problems. And I feel that it stemmed all the way back to her childhood because she only had a mother, basically, that didn't even take care of her. She was going through a hard situation in life and she was just cast aside. Some people call them Rambo babies. It's interesting. I don't know where they came up with the term Rambo babies. Toddlers that have temperaments, emotional traumas, anger, frustration. It takes calming. It takes patience. It takes endurance to work with these children that have behavioral problems. It's not easy. I believe Rosie probably can tell you stories of children that she probably is familiar with, and perhaps Renee as well, of individuals that fall in those categories. They want love, they want touch, they want held too, but society has given them a raw deal. Either the father and mother's out of the picture, or the parents are struggling with drugs or not taking care of them, and they're growing up without having the proper love and touch, and so they end up being called Rambo babies. Again, interesting term, Rambo babies, because they have a tendency to be rambunctious. The term rambunctious, I guess that's where Rambo kind of comes into the... And they lack the physical touch and holding. So it starts from the very beginning. Physical touch is good therapy in times of difficulty. I mentioned about whenever you go through a difficult trial or problem sometimes as adults. Well, children go through trials and problems at school. Bullying. I've seen that in my own grandchild being bullied. So those things can happen. And it's hard when a child has to face these situations. But having the encouragement of somebody telling, holding them and saying, hey, you know, what can I do to help you? You know, just talking with them, reaching out, touching, and caring, they can get through the difficult times in life and prosper through that. Some studies from the University of Miami Medical Center indicated that physical touch reduces stress. Now, I'm all for that because stress is a killer. My brother's an example of that. He almost died because of stress. And stress can kill you, but physical touch can reduce stress. So let's reduce our stress levels by giving each other hugs and concerns for one another and express what we care for one another. The need for genuine affection in an imperfect world. That was written in 1998. Again, very interesting. These dates are long past, and yet it's still interesting. A simple touch, a hand on the shoulder, an arm around the waist, can reduce heart rate, lower blood pressure. Isn't that interesting? So when you're hugging somebody, you're actually helping them. I think that's fantastic. I think that's great. Something simple as a hand on the shoulder, a pat on the head, an arm around the waist can reduce heart rate and blood pressure. Touch can also stimulate the brain to produce hormones that the body naturally needs in life. This is found in the Book of Life again, August 1997. Isn't that wonderful? Something as simple as touch can help you improve your health. And Joyce can relate to that, and Linda and I can both relate to that because we work with the touch of working with people. Even more important than the touch of human beings in our lives is the touch of God. And that is so true. It's so important. God does not physically touch us today as Jesus did in the examples where he held the little children. He doesn't physically touch us, but he does set us example. He places the instructions in the Bible regarding ways that we can receive his love. And one of them was the Holy Spirit, receiving of the Holy Spirit. And that is through his ministry and laying on of hands. Now, the laying on of hands is used in many different ways. The touch from God, what God can do, blessing the process through his direct touching with the ministers of the laying on of hands, is one way that God can express his love to each and every one of us. Now, one of the first acts that God shows in human lives is through the laying on of hands. As I mentioned, the ceremony includes the foundation doctrines of the New Testament found over in Hebrews. Let's turn to Hebrews 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And let's look at 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, but of the doctrine of the baptism and of laying on of hands. So here in Hebrews, we're told that these are foundational doctrines for all of us, the laying on of hands. This ceremony includes, as I mentioned, the purpose as to impart a blessing. A tremendous blessing for each and every one of us. It's interesting to see how the Bible directs God's servants to perform the ceremony in key times in human lives. There are many different ways of laying on of hands. One of the things that we can be encouraged, the church continues to use this process of laying on of hands. It's not cast, unfortunately, some no longer do laying on of hands, but the church that we attend here in United, as well as other groups of that Jesus Christ has and God the Father has, use the example of laying on of hands. Asking God for blessings upon the children, we still do that ceremony. I think that's a wonderful ceremony. When we have a little newborn or a young child is taken up and is blessed, we still perform that ceremony of laying on blessing of little children and those parents who desire it. We also have the blessing of healing, laying on of hands of healing. And it is comforting when you're not feeling well and you're sick and you're dealing with health conditions that you can go to the ministry and have the laying on of hands. And again, it's not the individual that heals you, it is God that heals you. We always knew that, but sometimes people give credit to the individual. It's God that does the healing. The instrument is through the ministry and the laying on of hands. Another important juncture in the life is the baptism. When we're baptized, and this is vitally important, once we're baptized, after the ceremony of baptism, water baptism at that time, the laying on of hands, and that's how we receive the Holy Spirit. It's the responsibility and the respect of the beginning of the new life of the spiritual-led person. So after they're baptized, they come out of the water, and they got the laying on of hands, and they receive the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit guides them through life, all the way to the end of our days, if we endure to the end and we are faithful to God's way of life. After baptism, the ministry is told to lay their hands upon the new converted Christian, and they do that. And many of us have seen baptisms. In fact, we've seen recent baptisms in the last several years where the minister lays the hands on the new baptized individual. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, we read about that over in the book of Acts. And if you want to turn there, you can. Acts chapter 8. Let's look at verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. This is verse 14 of Acts 8. When they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So again, as they laid on the hands on the individual, they also prayed for individuals to receive the Holy Spirit. It said, and they laid their hands in verse 17 on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So that is one of the ways we receive the Holy Spirit. And again, it's from God on the laying of a hand. And notice it's a touch. I think that's the thing that is so remarkable. Even God designed for us to receive the Holy Spirit through the power of touch. Isn't that wonderful? It's just remarkable how God puts it all in perspective. And He encourages us to touch our children. In the process I mentioned about healing, laying on the hands, touch with the healing, the baptism, and of course the wedding ceremony, which we're looking forward to, the wedding ceremony of the return of Jesus Christ and God's government when it's set up, being the bride of Christ. I'm sure there'll be the sense of touch will be part of that ceremony as well. Brethren, we are blessed to be able to understand the power of the touch. God gives us the sense of touch. It's a tremendous blessing that we can use for properly showing love for one another, and specifically for our children, to make sure that they grow up and are nurtured in the need that God designed in our children, that they need the touch, they need the love. And we can see the example of how Jesus Christ set in holding children and using them as an example towards the kingdom of God. These are tremendous blessings. God wants us to use the sense of touch for the proper sense. Now we can look at many different examples in the Bible, and because of time, I'm not going to refer to them all. But study the subject laying on of hands for yourself. I think you'll be pleasantly pleased on how God used the senses of touch for purpose of good and for us to spiritually grow and develop. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful, unique blessing from God, the senses of touch. The moment a marriage is confirmed, we also have the senses of touch as husbands and wives, and that's a blessing too, and children. These are all tremendous blessings from God. God designed marriage to be for life. And I mentioned, unfortunately, sometimes marriages don't last because of various circumstances. But God designed marriage to be for life. And the children to have relationships with their parents as long as their parents live. The blessings are all the way to the end of the days of our lives. And God said He'll always be with us. And so we can take joy in that. The laying of hands is a formal ceremony that's reserved for certain very important moments and occasions that we all experience. As I mentioned, illnesses, if we ever experience sicknesses, we have the blessing and the opportunity to ask for the minister or the elder to come and anoint us and have the laying on of hands. David said over in Psalms, and let's look at Psalms. Psalm 16. And verse 8. The key here is that David had a very close relationship with God the Father in Jesus Christ. And he felt the love that he needed, and that he knew that God was with him. He made mistakes. We understand that. And he learned from some real tragic mistakes he made in life. But he always trusted in God. And here in Psalm 16 and verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me, because He is my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Like I said, David made mistakes, but he knew he could always trust in God. And it was God showing and expressing His love for him that he knew he could get through any trial that he had to deal with. Let's look at Psalms 139. and verse 5. Here again, you have set me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. So even though God didn't physically come down and lay his hand upon David, he knew his hand was on David. He understood that God's hand was with him and it was laid upon him. So David understood these things and he was comforted by it. Psalm 119. And we too can take comfort that God is with us and he wants us to be able to call upon him when we need him. That's part of the love, part of the touching that we need, the contact. I mentioned about staying in touch. Well, we got to stay in touch with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And they'll stay in touch with us if we remain faithful to their way of life. Psalm 119, verse 173. Let your hand help me, for I have chosen your precepts. Again, very encouraging words. Let your hand help me, for I have chosen your precepts. If we hold on to the truths of God, God's precepts, God's hand will be with us. God's touch will be with us, his Holy Spirit that we receive through the laying on of hands. This is a wonderful gift, a tremendous blessing. And now, as we prepare for the Pentecost season tomorrow, we'll be hearing messages of how the Holy Spirit and his power, it's very powerful, the Holy Spirit, and how one of the blessings is the senses of touch, of expressing love. And that's God expressed his love to us by giving us his Holy Spirit.